A bedroom door flies open. A man staggers through, his face white, his hands clutching his stomach.
Florence, Florence, hot water.
His name is Charles Bravo, 30 years old, a barrister, wealthy, married only 4 months. He had taken a sip of water from the jug beside his bed. Just a sip. And now he's dying. For the next 3 days, doctors will surround his bed. Family will plead. Everyone will ask the same question. Charles, who did this to you? He never answers. He dies without naming his poisoner. 150 years later, we still don't know who killed Charles Bravo. We only know that someone in his household, his wife, her companion, perhaps even her former lover, watched him drink from that jug and said nothing. Hello, friend. Welcome to Foul Play. I'm Shane Waters. On April 21st, 1876, a young barrister died at the Priory, an elegant villa in Balham, South London. The cause? Antimony poisoning. The method? Poison in his bedside water jug. The killer? Unknown. This April marks 150 years since Charles Bravo took his last breath. And in this season of Foul Play, we're going to examine one of the most psychologically baffling cases in Victorian history. Why? Because Charles Bravo knew who poisoned him. He must have known. He was lucid for 3 days of agony. Doctors begged him to speak. His stepfather wept at his bedside. His mother pleaded. Charles Bravo said nothing. Was he protecting someone? Punishing someone? Or did he genuinely not know? Over the next 5 episodes, we'll meet the 4 suspects. We'll walk through the fatal night. We'll sit in the courtroom during the longest inquest Victorian England had ever seen. But to understand what happened at the Priory that April night, we need to go back 5 years to a young widow seeking treatment for a broken heart.
Florence Campbell was born in 1845, the same year as Charles Bravo. The daughter of a wealthy family, she had every advantage. In 1868, at 23, Florence married Captain Alexander Ricardo. He was heir to a fortune. He was handsome. He was, as Florence would later discover, a violent alcoholic. The marriage was a disaster. Ricardo drank himself into rages. Florence endured 3 years of misery before death delivered her escape. In April 1871, Captain Ricardo died of alcohol-related illness. He was 27. Florence was 26, and suddenly one of the wealthiest young widows in England. Her inheritance? Approximately £40,000. In today's money, roughly £5 million. But she was broken. 3 years of abuse had left her nerves shattered. Someone suggested she visit a famous clinic in Malvern, known for its water cures. The man who ran that clinic would change Florence's life forever. Dr. James Manby Gully was 62. He had treated Tennyson, Darwin, Dickens. He was charming, he was cultured, he listened. The affair began in 1871. For 4 years, Florence and Dr. Gully conducted a relationship that scandalised anyone who knew. He was 40 years her senior. She was a widow. He was married. They travelled together. They lived together at times. And then Florence became pregnant. The pregnancy ended in miscarriage. The affair continued. But by 1875, Florence had made a decision. She was 30 years old. If she wanted to rejoin respectable society, she needed to end things with Dr. Gully. She did. The affair was over. Florence was free to find a suitable husband.
Charles Delaney Turner Bravo was, on paper, an excellent match. Born in 1845, the same year as Florence, he came from money. His father was a wealthy merchant of Portuguese Jewish ancestry. Charles was educated at King's College, London, and called to the bar. Contemporary accounts describe him as handsome, dark features, well-built. Women found him charming when he wanted to be charming. But there was another side to Charles Bravo. He was domineering, jealous, possessive, and above all, interested in money. Before courting Florence, Charles had kept a mistress in Maidenhead. He paid her off before proposing to his wealthy widow. Florence wasn't the first woman to catch his eye, but she was certainly the richest. In October 1875, Charles Bravo met Florence through social connections. He was immediately captivated. And he immediately started asking questions. The trial records tell us that Charles investigated Florence's past before proposing. He heard the rumors about Dr. Gully. He made inquiries. He learned about the affair, the traveling together, the pregnancy. He proposed anyway. Why pursue a woman whose scandal could destroy your reputation? Was it love? Was it the £40,000? Or was it something darker? Power that could control her for the rest of their lives? Florence hesitated.
I have a past that might distress you.
Charles said it didn't matter. He accepted her as she was. Florence said yes. On December 7th, 1875, Florence Campbell Ricardo became Florence Bravo. There was one other person at that wedding who matters. Jane Cannon Cox. Miss Cox was Florence's paid companion, a widow from Jamaica with three sons to support. She knew everything. The Gully affair, the pregnancy, all of it. And Jane Cox was about to become a prisoner in Florence's new marriage.
Priory sat on Bedford Hill Road in Balham, South London. Elegant, comfortable, respectable. The dining room at the Priory.
Hello, friend. I need to tell you about a book that had me completely locked in. It's called Run on Red by Noel W. Eiley. Picture this. A dark, empty highway through the Idaho hills. No cell signal for miles. Two women realize the headlights behind them aren't going away. What starts as road rage turns into something far worse. A brutal, heart-pounding fight for survival that doesn't let up for a single page. Laura and Olivia can't outrun what's coming, so they have to fight back. And this book does what the best thrillers do. It takes an ordinary situation and makes you realize how fast it can go sideways. I burned through it. Every chapter drops you off a cliff. If you're into Freda McFadden or Karen Slaughter, this is your next read. Run on Red is now available as a deluxe special edition with gorgeous stenciled edges, as beautiful on the shelf as it is terrifying in your hands. Out February 24th. Grab it while you can. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, we spend a lot of time on this show, walking through the darkest chapters of history. But I want to take a second to talk about something that matters right now. The women in our lives. March is a time to celebrate women's strength. But here's what I think gets overlooked. The weight they carry every single day. At work, in their families, in their relationships. always showing up for everyone else. I think about the women in my world, my co-host Wendy, my editor Kim, and how much they pour into everything they do. And I think sometimes the people who take care of everyone else forget to care for themselves. Therapy can be that space, a place to pause, set some boundaries, and remember that you matter too. Your emotional well-being matters. Find support and feel lighter in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com. That's betterhelp.com.
January 1876, Charles Bravo sits at the head of the table reviewing household accounts. The coal bill, the wine bill, the servants' wages. Florence watches as he crosses out items, questioning every expense. The household runs on her money, her £40,000, but Charles controls the spending.
"Do we really need Mrs. Cox?"
he asked, not looking up.
"What exactly does she do?"
Florence feels her stomach tighten. Jane Cox is her only ally in this house. What's striking about this exchange is what it reveals about the marriage. Charles Bravo had married a wealthy woman, but wealth in 1876 didn't mean freedom. Florence's fortune was legally protected. Charles couldn't touch the principal, but he controlled how the money was spent, day by day, pound by pound. And he controlled Florence. The jealousy started almost immediately. Charles became obsessed with Dr. Gully, who still lived in Balham, just streets away. He questioned Florence about her past again and again. Florence denied everything. The affair was over. She wanted a fresh start. Charles couldn't let it go. And then in February 1876, Florence miscarried. She lost Charles's child. Another loss. Charles's response was cold. He focused on Florence's drinking. Meanwhile, Jane Cox watched from her precarious position. If Charles dismissed her, she faced financial ruin. Three people lived at the Priory. A wife trapped, a husband obsessed, a companion who couldn't afford to leave. Each with secrets, each with motive.
April 1876. The tensions at the Priory have reached a breaking point. Charles Bravo is openly discussing dismissing Jane Cox. His exact words to Florence:
"What do we pay Mrs. Cox for?"
For Jane, dismissal means returning to Jamaica with nothing. Florence is drinking more. The miscarriage has left her weak. Charles's interrogations about Gully have left her exhausted. And then there's Dr. Gully, 66 years old now, living just streets away. Still in contact with Florence, perhaps. What Charles Bravo couldn't have known was that someone in that house was about to make a decision. Someone was about to acquire antimony. Antimony, specifically tartar emetic, was commonly available in Victorian England. Used in medicine. Used in stables to treat horses. Could be purchased at any chemist's shop. Someone at the Priory knew exactly where to find it. In a few days, Charles Bravo would be dead, poisoned, and the question that would consume Victorian England would begin. Who killed Charles Bravo? His wife, Florence, trapped in an unhappy marriage, inheriting everything if he died. Dr. Gully, jealous, still in love, with the medical knowledge to know exactly how antimony kills. Or Jane Cox, facing dismissal, desperate, with nothing to lose.
The morning of April 18th, 1876, began like any other at the Priory. Charles Bravo woke up. He dressed for riding, his habit to exercise in Rotten Row. But that morning, something went wrong. His horse bolted. Charles was nearly thrown. He returned shaken but uninjured. Florence was recovering from a minor illness. By evening, she felt well enough for dinner. The three of them sat at the table, Florence, Charles, and Jane Cox. The meal was ordinary: soup, fish, lamb, pudding. They shared a bottle of burgundy. Mary Ann Keeber, the housemaid, would later testify about that dinner, about the burgundy, about Charles's demeanour. At approximately 8:30, Charles retired to his bedroom. He undressed. He prepared for bed. On the nightstand sat a glass jug of cold water, prepared by a servant as always. He reached for the jug. He took a sip. Just a sip. In the next episode, we'll follow Charles through his final hours. The collapse, the agony, the doctors who couldn't save him, and the question he refused to answer.
December 7th, 1875. The wedding night. The ceremony is over. Florence and Charles Bravo are alone for the first time as husband and wife. Florence must have been nervous. She had a confession to make. She had rehearsed the words. How to explain about Dr. Gully, about the affair, about the pregnancy. But Charles spoke first.
I know about Dr. Gully.
Florence's world shifted.
I know about all of it.
He had known before the proposal, before the wedding, before she said yes. Charles Bravo had investigated her past, learned everything, and married her anyway. Florence's secret wasn't a secret. Her fresh start was built on a lie. But the lie was his, not hers. Why? Why marry a woman whose scandal could ruin you? For love? Possibly. For £40,000? Almost certainly. Or for power? Knowledge that could bind a wife to him forever? Every argument about household expenses, every jealous accusation about Gully, every threat to dismiss Jane Cox. Charles wasn't discovering Florence's past. He was punishing her for it. For 4 months, Florence Bravo lived in this marriage. Watched, controlled, reminded daily of her sins her husband claimed to forgive. And then on April 18th, Charles Bravo took a sip of water. 3 days later, he was dead. But here's the question I keep coming back to. Why did Charles Bravo marry Florence in the first place? If he knew about Gully, if he knew about the pregnancy, the scandal, all of it, why go through with it? Was it money? Was it love? Or was it something darker? What do you think? Next time on Foul Play, Charles Bravo collapses. Doctors race to save him. And as he lies dying, everyone asks the same question. A question he refuses to answer. Until next time, friend.